Okay. Welcome to episode 61 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, the only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, son?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good, man. I got one more day on this job out here, and then I'll be heading home. So right off the bat, folks, this program brought to you by Two Old Crows and Hickory Ridge Soap. Check them out at twooldcrows.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Also, EMP Shield. Remember, they got that new micro out there. That thing is awesome. If you got a motorcycle or any farm equipment, that thing is handy. Get $50 off with promo code PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. And be sure to check us out on the Fountain app where you can tip a pimp. Yeah, you can also listen to all your podcasts over there, but make sure you put the Permaculture Pimp Cast at the top of it. All right, right off the bat, y'all, getting straight into it. Tip of the day. All right. Admit your faults immediately and ask for forgiveness. Okay, so this is a personal story. Just recently happened a few days ago. Putting up the rafters on this roof. Actually, it wasn't the rafters. I was actually putting the decking on the roof of this earth ship. And I was given very specific instructions on how to do it. It was actually the rafters. No, it wasn't the decking. That was a whole nother mess up altogether. Look, I'm a journeyman electrician. I am not a carpenter. And when these guys lined me out, I was running with it. Well, I was thinking, okay, well, I'll do it a different way because it seems like it makes sense. Well, I got two along and I was messing it up. And so the foreman, he comes over and he says, hey man, there's a reason I told you to do it this way. Instead of getting aggravated about it, I said, you know what, man, you did. And I totally did it wrong because I thought I knew better, man. I'm really sorry about that. Please forgive me. And just like that, it diffused the entire situation. And in fact, it really wasn't that big a deal. But look, if you mess up, I have bad qualities. I got good ones. And I like to think that one of the good ones I have is when I know that I'm wrong, I will not let any sunlight pass until I set things right. But honestly, I let him know. I said, hey man, I'm really sorry. I'll get it right on the next ones. I'll fix those. And that was only two. There were only two that I messed up and it was an easy fix. So we got that squared away. And, I made additional mistakes when it came down to doing the decking. But in fairness, those mistakes really weren't my fault. But we got them squared away too. So yeah, do that. And in fact, folks, it doesn't just apply when you're at your job or whatever else. It's getting rid of that foolish pride in every aspect of your life. And believe me, especially when it comes to your family, if you step out of order, you do something wrong, set things right immediately. And you'll find that forgiveness comes a whole lot easier when you do it that way. All right. Right into the farm news, man. There's a whole lot to unpack here this time because it's been some time since we last did a pimp cast. Like I said, we did the rafters on this place, this earth ship, working on the roof. I was on both parts of that. Let's see what else. Man, this thing is really, really, really coming together. I think I'll make one more video before I get out of here. Son, there was a guy that came on the job today. Apparently he came out yesterday, which was our day off. And his name was Robert. He's one of the locals around here, works at one of the mines, and he drives one of those massive trucks.
Oh, wow.
And it was a real joy to meet him. It was pretty awesome to hear him tell the story about how he had watched the YouTube channel and he realized, oh, shoot, man, he's right here in my backyard. I'll go check him out. And he came out and helped on the job today. Had to find two people actually showed up today and, had to sign a waiver. But one real cool thing about meeting him, and he was a really cool dude, is he came out here, he lent a hand, he made himself a hand, and he was telling me that, you know, when he has time off from the mine, he'll actually go back to Washington State where he was at his aunt's house. And because of our guerrilla gardening video, well, he's out there guerrilla gardening his aunt's place.
Wow.
So I got all that recorded and everything. Hopefully I can play it in the next video. that I do out of here. But it was a real joy to meet him. And it's, I got to say, man, it's been an eye-opening thing. I miss home like crazy, but I am learning so much. And I'm really at the point now that I have every confidence that I can absolutely do this. And I want to give a big shout out to the folks at Earthship because, man, they are really the consummate professionals, the consummate teachers. Every one of them there, man, you got any question, they will stop anything they're doing and help you out and show you how to do it right. Lean you in the right place. But yeah, learning so much, and I can't wait to unpack it. It's going to be one of those things that takes a while to really, really unpack. So Saturday after work, man, there was a couple of things that happened, and I briefly talked about it in that last video we did.
Yeah, Dad, you got to give more of a teaser about what happened on that mountain. You got to give more of a teaser than that. You just left them hanging on that YouTube video, the one that came out today.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, I kind of had to some because I'm still trying to unpack it. I'm going to try to get into it a little bit more of it now. But we're going to have Joel Thomas from Kill the Mockingbirds podcast on here because it's more his speciality, what actually happened. Okay, I'll give you the cliff notes real quick. Well, first, there was a monastery. I was told that, you know, they grow a lot of their own food. And when I learned about this, I was like, okay, I got to see this place. So Deb managed to work it out. And now they did ask. I was there filming. I was doing all this. And something told me to ask if it was okay to film. And then the sister at this monastery said, yes, if it's for your own thing, but if you're going to put it on the internet, we can't have that. And I'm like, absolutely. I totally respect it. She said, I would also ask that you don't even mention the name of this place. And I'm like, oh, okay. What's going on up in here, man? And they have security concerns that I really don't. I want to totally respect what they were doing. But anyway, we get out there, and there's a bunch of this entire place is gated. There's 300 acres that they have, and they have 10 of it absolutely enclosed by these walls all the way around this place. Well, we get inside there, and we get something of a tour of what they have going on there. For me, at first, it was a little bizarre. And this thing has been around for 25 years, and it was a complete oasis. I mean, everything you would imagine in an oasis. And man, it just breaks my heart that I can't even share the pictures of anything that was going on there. But these sisters were getting it on. Now, they eat almost primarily a plant-based diet. They do eat some eggs and they eat dairy. But for the most part, you know, it's pretty much a plant-based diet that they have out there. They use the goats and, you know, the chickens for eggs. And the thing that was most striking about everything I saw out there is I'm just still floored at how little people capture from the sky. There are no earthworks to speak of. And there are no, I mean, you have 9.7 inches of rain in this area, and not even at that monastery were they capturing any of it. In fact, I was asking about it, and they were saying that they get primarily, well, all of their water really from all of these wells they have out there. And it was really, that's another one I'm still having a hard time trying to unpack.
Hold on. Here's something I'm taking away from it. All right. So there's a monastery, and I guess they're Catholic. Is that the
case?
No,
they're not. There's some other faith. And
is it like a Christian based one?
No, it's some kind of Eastern Orthodox or Greek Orthodox, something like that, I think.
Okay. So would they be under the control of the Vatican?
No, these people have a certain degree of enmity, I suspect. From what little I was to ascertain, it seemed like a version of Catholicism, but maybe some big differences between them. I'm not sure what.
Here's what I was connecting, was that they have the Lucifer telescope up there, they're looking into the sky, and their takeaway was to become completely self-sufficient. So that might be a heads up for everybody that they're up there looking at that, and they're like, oh, maybe we should plant some gardens.
Maybe there's a little something to that. You know, there were varying degrees of success out there. They're apple trees. I mean, they were all the same cultivar in the same place, but it seemed to be doing halfway well. they definitely need a major prune job, but they definitely are growing a fair bit of stuff out on this property. But then that same day, later on that night, they have this thing, and this is where I'm going to try to unpack it a little bit more regarding Mount Graham. So I got to looking, and I found out that they have this place called like the Discovery something. And every Saturday, supposedly from 4 till 9 at night, they have a little presentation. They fed us, you know, I brought some of the people from Earthship, and there were cookies and, you know, hot chocolate, and it was very cold. So I'm like, okay, maybe I'll get some answers out here. So I roll up into this place. I'm just going to give the cliff notes here because, like I said, I'm still trying to unpack the bizarre nature of this thing. When I first showed up, I was the only one there besides the people that were involved. And I said, hey, I heard there was something going on tonight. Like, you got a giant telescope we could look through and all that. And they're like, yeah. So they give me a tour of the place. And they were rather excited about my presence. And I told them, hey, I got a YouTube channel. Would you folks mind being in the video? They're like, no, absolutely. So I just got out there, got some footage of them, and, you know, talked to them briefly. And then later on, as the night went on, everything was cool. Everything was awesome. And the people from Earth, the other people from Earthship started to show up. And I think the bad mistake of asking questions regarding that book from Tom Horn and Chris Putnam. And literally on
Exo Vaticana.
Absolutely. Exo Vaticana. I started asking questions about that, and then everything changed. The whole mood changed. And they told me that, well, first of all, the guy who gave the presentation, I was told, his name was John. I was told by some of the folks there as the night unfolded that he actually ran the entire operation on the top of that mountain until he retired like a couple of years ago. So I'm like, oh, goodness, I definitely got to talk to this guy. And then they told me one of the Catholic priests that's up there doing his thing, he was going to be there as well that night. Then all of a sudden, like a complete dummy, I kind of eased into it saying, hey, there's this book out there called ExoVet. And as soon as I said that, I mean, I didn't even get that far into the word, man. And the guy, all of a sudden, some weird things unfolded, man. And there were some witnesses here that this is going to take a while for me to unpack. And when Joel Thomas gets on here, I'm going to recount the entire story because I want to make sure I write everything down, have it all set up, and be sure that I get this right. But like I said, as soon as I started asking about that book, nope, gotta go. Everything changes. I said, well, hey, what about that priest that's coming by? Oh, nope, ain't gonna see him.
They were probably like, man, this dude told us he was a farmer. Like, they were probably kind of upset that it probably looked like you tricked him, Dad.
I don't think so, because I didn't even get that far into it. I said, well, you know, I don't know that I necessarily have a dog in the hunt. And then all of a sudden, it's like, good night, man. Everything changed and things got a little bit bizarre. Next thing I know, they're shutting down the whole thing. And they're like, there's more to unpack here. But basically, the priest didn't show up. I tried to get over there and ask questions to that John, who was really, really cool with me at first. And then there's this part where they kind of pull me off to the side, and they have a museum there. One of the guys gets me into this museum, and he takes me to this back corner of it and I'm like, hold on, this is getting weird. And so I'm like, okay, let's go back out here. He says, no, let's stay here. I'm like, nah, I don't think so, Jack. So I'm walking out of this museum and I'm going back to the front of this place. And that's where you could see the whole vibe. And even some of the other folks at Earthship, they were thinking, what just happened, man? All I did was ask the question about that book. And I got about that far. And all of a sudden, they're telling me, oh, this is, yeah, it's a bunch of hogwash. And then I go and ask about Mount Graham. And I said, well, what about this mountain? Why did you have to have this mountain in particular? He says, well, you know, and then he starts putting out this stuff that didn't really make much sense to me. And I said, well, there's a number of other mountains over here. Why that one in particular? Yeah, and then he's like doing peas and carrots kind of stuff, like looking around like, how do I get rid of this guy? And I was not even that forceful in the questioning. But it got really, really weird, and I hope to unpack this completely when we get Joel on. So that's what I was getting at in that video. So, yeah, you know, notwithstanding the fact, well, I'll just save it for when Joel's there. Anyway, on the other stuff here, been on a nonstop Mexican food diet, son. The Mexican food is off the meat wagon out here. Found this little stab and jab. These places don't take anything but cash.
Dad, you got to stop calling it that. Stab and jab?
You see this place from the outside, you're thinking, okay, the building's falling in on itself, but I bet they got good food. Well, I brought the folks over here from Earthship, man, and they've been eating this stuff like crazy too. So really good Mexican places out here. Fantastic. And it's always the mom and pop places that don't have, you know, it's kind of falling in on itself. And, okay, folks, the last thing I want to point out here, and I'd be remiss if I didn't point it out, is we actually have that call-in number. So, son, tell them about it, and we're gonna play some call-ins, some folks that decided to call in.
Yeah, the number is 828-380-4419, and it's 828-380-4419. And here is our first call-in guest.
What is going on, everybody? This is Alex coming to you from an undisclosed location in beautiful South Kakalaki. And I just had a quick question for you guys on the Pimpcast. What are the top 3 to 5 books you guys recommend for someone who is interested in starting a permaculture property? Keep it up, y'all. You're doing a phenomenal job. More power to you. Keep it up. Y'all have a good one. Bye-bye.
Awesome.
All right. That's what I'm talking about, man. Thank you so much for calling in. Now, we're gonna save this for the Q&A segment of the show, but we'll answer this one right now. We just want to give you all the heads up that we do have that call-in number, and that might actually be the best way to go about some of this Q&A. Plus, it makes it a more personal touch, man, when I hear y'all's voices. So it was a joy to hear that.
Yeah, so to make that a little bit clearer, in the future, we will be playing these in the Q&A section at the end. This was just a reminder saying, hey, we do have that voicemail call in, so be sure to call in, y'all.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and answer that question right off. Son, why don't I take a couple of them? Far as books, right off the bat, and I've turned on a number of people out here at this Earthship build. If I had to say, look, one quick book to really get to sink your teeth into what permaculture, it's probably one of my favorite books, and it's One Straw Revolution by Masanobu Fukuoka, Japanese genius who was permaculture before they even called it that. But one of the reasons I love that book so much is not only the information in it, but even though it's translated from Japanese, there is a sublime prose to how it unfolds. I mean, it reads beautifully. And I know a lot of people don't care about that sort of thing, but when it reads almost like a poem in how it unfolds, and at least that's the way it feels to me. So yeah, One Straw Revolution. Oh, goodness, man. There are so many. I'm going to say Mark Shepard's book. William, do you have a recommendation?
Yeah, definitely Gaia's Garden. If you're going to be designing your own property, that is going to be the best book to follow as far as the planting. It explains zones very clearly. It gives you a whole plant list in the back. And it explains like your different, not just your zones, but your sectors as well. Like what you need to be cautious of, how to handle like wildfire areas if you're in California, how to deal with deer naturally. Well, we have bone sauce for that. But there's also like other natural deterrents that you can plant. And then also just like spacing as well. Like it's a really good book. It's a very simplified way to design your property.
You know, I'm glad you pointed that book out, son, because I would also agree. And sadly, there's a lot of permaculture designers out there that poo-poo that book, man. I understand it doesn't cover every aspect of permaculture, but for the reasons you stated there, I think that book is a winner. I really do. I'm a big fan of it.
And also guilds. It explains guilds very well.
Yeah, you can't lose with that. Can't lose with those three, but thank you so much. Remember that call in line. All right, y'all, we're going to move on.
Well, hold on. The fourth one, the easy one, is the permaculture design manual. That's a given. You should probably try to get that, and it's a textbook. It's not going to be like a book you read from front to back. It's going to be like a reference manual.
Well, that's why I didn't mention that, because it is a reference manual more than anything. All right, y'all, with that said, we're going to move on into the homesteading pastor, my pastor. You can check him out, the homesteading or homesteading pastor on YouTube, also Instagram.
The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So whenever you have the opportunity to do good, do it. Get some good seed in the ground. Because the best and most frequent blessings come to and from those that sow good seed.
Man, he's got this house tapped. He's got this house tapped. He's got videos and microphones in this house. Because I was just reading in this section in Rich Dad Poor Dad today about having to, I mean, it's crazy that non-Christians come to the same conclusion and that you have to give in order to receive.
I'd say the same thing every single time we drop a message from Pastor Lon. I'm always thinking, good night, man. Boy, can I relate to that. There's not been a thing yet that he says, and folks, you really want to check him out, especially in these days, things are getting strange. So that brings us right into the bad news, good news section. All right, well, William's going to do one of those, but I'm going to start off with the bad news at first. And I was a big fan of Diamond and Silk. I mean, mostly their delivery. The first time I heard about them, I didn't really know what to think. And, Diamond, part of that duo, she died. And worse yet, she died suddenly. And there's even a video out there. In fact, there's a little tweet from Jack Posobiec where he said, Silk stood right in front of Trump and told him the vaccine killed Diamond and there needs to be an investigation into why people are suddenly dropping dead. So, yeah, there's a lot of this happening, y'all. And that's really bad news. I'm never going to be one of those people that says, well, I told you so. Well, y'all had it coming. You ain't never going to hear that out of me. Like Pastor Lon said, I'm trying to sow some good seeds out here, and I want to see people recover. And one of the things, like I said, we are not a sponsor of that. One thing that has been helping people, as I understand it, has been that Cardio Miracle. And Eric Sider even provided me, and I need to get and reveal that again, but there are ways. That stuff is not cheap, but if anybody's wanting some, there are ways to make this nitric oxide, which is it's essentially what it is. There's ways to make that stuff from your home. But yeah.
Who's Diamond and Silk? Is that a rap group?
No, they're actually they might as well be. They basically delivered their take on the news, and they were more of the right wing type of people. But they said a lot of good things that I agreed with from time to time. Not all of it, but they're basically a duo, and they basically are political analysts. And when they would play off of one another, it was the most, when I first heard them, I thought it was some kind of joke. I'm like, is this real? And they were just funny. They would drop it, you know, in a very funny kind of way and the unapologetic kind of way. But yeah, she basically got jabbed and here she is, died essentially right in the arms of her friend. And I mean, just a tragic sort of thing. And that sort of thing's happening all over right now, even though nobody seems to want to talk about it. And one of the big fears I had as this thing becomes more and more known is that, like Mark Twain said, it is easier to fool people than to convince them that they've been fooled. And it seems like nobody is really wanting to take a second look at this stuff, but it's a real tragedy. And, you know, we never provide problems without at least providing some solutions. And it seems as if this Cardio Miracle is helping folks out. All right, so good news. Well, there's a study out there, and it shows that frequent visits to green spaces linked to lower use of prescription use. How about that? You know, it's funny that even, you know, I can't help wonder if it's even in desert places, any place where you find peace, because I was out there yesterday in the desert. And one of the friends I made out here is a guy named Will. He lives just outside of Nashville. And I guess his girlfriend has been really watching a lot of the stuff we do, and they want to come by for a visit sometimes. Well, he brought up yesterday, you know what, man, this would be a good day to go grounding. And I was like, Billy, you big dummy. So I walked out in the desert with my bare feet along with him. And I was like, okay, why did I not think of this before? Because, you know, when you put yourself, I mean, like I said in that video, when you put yourself in these very quiet places, I'm not a big fan of deserts, but I'm a big fan of quiet places. And I just felt more at peace. I mean, I felt better just doing it. All right, so we got some more good news, son, but it's going to be coming from your end. And folks were asking also if you have a good news story from your end. I don't care what it is, let us know.
This is from Eric Sider, and he let us know through the Fountain app. He said, I asked Jeff about using drywall. He said it works well but can look messy. It's particularly useful for acidic soils as it raises the pH. Bill used it, meaning Bill Mullison. Bill also talks about using gypsum to help drainage in clay soils. Hashtag pimp on speed dial.
Bam. Well, thanks a million, Eric. And folks, y'all go check him out too. You'll be glad you did. All these shirts you see us wearing in the videos, guess where they come from? Eric Sider. So you can get one yourself. Go over there, check out his YouTube channel. And he's got links for all that. Also, if you need any kind of, a lot of people typically hit us up about consultations and stuff. Folks, we just don't have time to mess with those right now. But Eric Sider is the one you want to reach out to. You'd be shocked at how much he can do, just either in a phone call, or maybe he can do it some sort of way where you do a lot of this electronically. But before you really take time and start, you know, going through and doing this and that and this, you really want to try to get, even if you don't pay for a consultation, I suggest you do, but even if you don't, you need to have somebody who is dispassionate about the place where you live. Okay. That is a profound value when you're designing your property, because it can make all the difference in the world. I mean, you don't want to be that person that puts chickens in zone 5 because you didn't get, or you didn't have your things in close proximity to areas in which they relate, because it not only makes you more efficient, it just makes your task more fun when you don't have to take your chicken excrement and move it all the way to the other side of the place just to try to get this stuff done. All right, y'all, with that said, we're going to come back with the main topic.
So Dad obviously picked the music this week. Dad, that sounds like Pokemon intro music to a cartoon or something. What on earth are we playing on the Pimp Cast?
Get out of town, son. That's Joe Satriani, man, from back in the day, man. I love guitar virtuosos, y'all. That's why I like people like Monty Montgomery, which we still have yet to play on the program. Joe Satriani, all those 80s guitarists. Man, all those people, man, still love to hear their music, especially that type of stuff. All right, y'all, we're going to get into the main topic, but I want to point out that it was inspired by Andy Frisella. Now, I try to listen. I mean, I usually listen to his podcast pretty much every day, except, you know, I can't work out here doing the work I'm doing, and I'm so far behind and woefully uninformed. I made the bad mistake of turning on the TV in this hotel room. And yeah, I wanted to throw something at the TV. Every other commercial, I know we're getting sideways here, but I got to point this out. Every other commercial is either a Pfizer commercial or, strangely enough, and I told your mom about this the other day, life insurance commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you see on there. And then I put on the news channels, and I had on Fox News, I had on CNBC. I had them all on just to see what they're lying about these days. And man, I told your mom, I said, man, I had that on for 10 minutes, man, and I'm ready to pull my hair out. So yeah, TV stays off now. And like Joel Salatin, the only time I ever watch regular TV is when I'm in a hotel. So anyway, Andy Frisella. The other day he did a show, and it really struck out to me. He was talking about success zombies. Well, and the way he describes that are basically, these are the same people that he sees at every speaking engagement. They're there every time. They are, you know, they're there without, you know, any concern about how do I even put this? They're there to get more information. They're there to constantly get information, and they never pull the trigger. Well, so then I immediately thought about homestead zombies, because I mean, I've never heard that term used in terms of homesteading, but I know it's real, because there are a number of people I've met, and son, I think you have too.
Yep.
That they're constantly, what do they call it? Analysis. I guess you could really say analysis paralysis to a certain extent, but they're at all the shows and they're still looking for a homestead. But here's the difference. You don't need a homestead to farm. Just like Robert, I was describing earlier. He's over here guerrilla gardening his aunt's house. You can do this stuff everywhere, folks. And sorry for the noise in the background. Every once in a while, you know, there's some.
Does his aunt know that he's guerrilla gardening?
Well, yeah. And it's okay. Funny the way he told the story is that, you know, I don't mean to go sideways, but his, she was like, well, where did you put it? He said, you'll find out. And it was a bunch of, you know, a bunch of pumpkins and stuff like that. It was a pretty awesome story when he told me, and I had to capture that on film. But yeah, how many people out there are thinking, well, I got to wait till I get a homestead before I farm? Absolutely not. I'm out here building an earthship and I don't have one. I'm out here learning all these new techniques and tasks, meet all these new people with the expectation that I'm not going to be an earthship zombie. I have every intention of building this and starting on it relatively soon. And you'll find out more and more as this thing unfolds. But the point I'm getting at, the whole thing I'm trying to really, really point out here is, son, how many examples of people do you know and hear from? And folks, I'm not being critical here. I'm saying pull the doggone trigger, even if you mess every single bit up, even if you got a pack of seeds and you go out there and guerrilla garden. Well, guess what? If it doesn't work out, you found out what not to do. Son, do you have examples of this sort of thing?
Well, yeah. And I'm actively trying to avoid that same situation with reading that. I keep bringing up that book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, but I'm reading it right now. And I'm actively trying to avoid the situation of analysis paralysis, where I get stuck in consuming exactly what Andy Frazella was talking about, stuck in consuming these, the success or how to become successful and stuff like that, those types of books. And you never act on it because you're too busy consuming. The same people show up to these homesteading festivals. At some point, if you keep showing up to these homesteading festivals, you should be teaching these homesteading festivals. Like, if you've been going for 4 years, after 4 years, there's something you should be able to teach at that point. And I'm not discouraging people from going to these festivals. I'm just saying, like, be excited about the fact that you can update people on your progress, because you are doing something. And that progress could be, I went from growing on like one windowsill this year to I now have two raised beds outside this year. That could be your progress. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. You don't have to go from like just an east facing balcony to a 300 acre farm. It doesn't have to be that drastic.
No, it doesn't. And also remember that a lot of this stuff, you don't even need to own the land. You could possibly rent some land out there. Believe me, it's probably available, especially in these times. Or you could requisition some land. Like Joel Salatin always said, you know, they're growing marijuana in national forests, but nobody ever thought about growing tomatoes. So if people can go out there, and I, you know, some people have been critical of me of suggesting, hey, go out here and use these public spaces. Well, you paid taxes on them, so you just as well get something out of the deal. I mean, they're taking all your other tax money and murdering people with it.
You could properly raise pigs, graze them through the national forest, and do the, you know, the whole country a good service. You could easily make that argument if somebody catches you.
Truth is, we're actually going to have to do this. And this is why I really wanted to do this show and talk about this, is because we are approaching a time. And, you know, I'm trying to, we try as best we can to keep this thing as upbeat as we possibly can. But they are going out of their way, the powers that shouldn't be, because they know the whole financial system is about to collapse. So, what do we always do? When all else fails, they take you to war, in the words of the great Gerald Celente. That's exactly what they're trying to do. That's exactly the angle they're looking for. So you better be having, you know, the desolation of war is real. And you better have your plan B going on, even if it means looking outside the box. That's why I'm encouraging everybody. Forget about the analysis paralysis. Yeah, you want to try to have your ducks in a row, so to speak, when it comes to raising livestock and stuff like that. But you could take some chances, and you don't really have to take big chances. Go out there, find some inexpensive trees. I don't care where you get them. Put those in, okay? Find some seeds on the discount rack. Put those in. I mean, put them anywhere you possibly can. Because the days of being a homestead zombie in terms of never actually pulling the trigger, I think we're going to be forced into this. I'm going to probably talk more and more about this sort of thing, but every single aspect and what it takes for us to live is being compromised. That's why in the homes, that's why in the YouTube videos I've spent so much time as of late, probably not going to be the most popular topic in the world, but talking about water. That is fundamental. And nobody out here, for the most part, gives it a second thought. Well, this is exactly why I can't sit here and do the gloom and doom like so many of these other channels. And I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it for the sake of getting, you know, subscribers. I'm just, you know, I'd rather be the poorest dirt farmer in North Carolina before I ever resort to that sort of thing. So, folks, pull the doggone trigger. Because it's not going to get any easier. And you want to do this right now. You want to get some practice in under your belt, no matter what it is. I mean, maybe you have a neighbor, let's say it's an elderly person who's not even using their backyard.
Nope. It looks like Dad just went blank for a second. I don't know what happened there, Dad. You just went blank for a second.
Yeah, sorry about that. Granny was trying to call. This is one of the problems of doing this remotely, and she's probably going to do it again. So point being, y'all, do everything you possibly can to try to get your learning curve behind you before any of this stuff jumps off. Because I got news for you, it ain't going to get no better. Not for any time that I can foresee. And if anything, 2023 is going to be a rough year. It's going to be a very rough year. So get your stuff on lock right now. Like we always say, stay alert, stay alive. Well, That's part of it. All right, y'all. When we get back, we're going to go straight into the Q&A. All right, more of that Satriani.
Yeah, Dad, all I right. Keep picturing like somebody riding a Pegasus with a sword pointing forward, hair blowing in the wind. That's what's going on.
Yeah, well, son, that song came out long before you got on this earth. It's still a jam in my book. All right, right off the bat, got a question from Shopping Tool. I'm fortunate that I don't currently have a deer problem. However, squirrels are becoming my nemesis. Do you know if bone sauce works with them? Really, I don't know for sure because some people have swore that it does, and then I never heard back from other people. I don't know. I'll be honest with you because I've never tested it for that.
Danny at Deep South does. Yeah, sorry, I didn't know you were going to say that. Yeah, Danny at Deep South also, he uses it for squirrels, and he swears it works for them.
Well, he did. Well, he also uses that 22 on those squirrels too, so that's also an option. So you can put them in that pot. Sam, what do you got?
This is from the user. Thanks for another great episode. I was wondering, have either of you looked into or thought about the off-gassing of the old tires that will happen over time in an earthship? Is it something to be concerned about when living in one? # Jesus is King. # tip a pimp. So the off-gassing, I'm glad you asked this one because it is something that was going to get brought up and will keep getting brought up for sure. The off-gassing is not an issue. I think it was one of the field studies or independent studies that one of the students did at the academy, at the Earthship Academy, they tested the air quality inside the Earthship, and they compared it to the outside air quality. And the outside air was not in a city. It was in a rural environment, like clean country air. And the air inside the Earthship was cleaner than the air on the outside. And the reason for that was because of the greenhouse on the front of the house. So that's constantly filtering your air, and also the Adobe. And then also they're using used tires. All the off-gassing that they're going to do is already like happened. They're not using brand new tires out there. If they were, then it still wouldn't be an issue because they're encased in earth and they only off gas whenever they have exposure to water, light, and air.
All of which are absent there. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sure that question is going to come up quite a bit. And in fact, I'm going to probably do a little bit of talking to some of the guys at Earthship out there, maybe bring up some of these questions directly to them. Had a conversation with somebody today on the phone that was really critical about these structures, and I was asking these guys, and it seems there's definitely a group of haters out there. All right, Old McDonald, hey Billy, I was wondering how often you clip your chicken's wings to keep them from flying over your chicken tractor fence. I couldn't give you a time exactly, but I'd say it's about every 6 months. It depends on where they are, whether or not it's a big problem, because it's like pigs. When they get out, they're always constantly looking for a way back in, and the chickens are about the same way. So it's about every 6 months or when it becomes a problem. We go out there in the morning. As soon as they come up, we snatch them as they come out and then clip them, and then bam, we're on to the races.
Yeah, so we just really pay attention whenever they jump out for the most part. I got one from Libertas 91. 5 times August has been very anti-COVID regime with their music. Hashtag tip a pimp. We'll have to check them out, Dad. 5 times
yeah,
August.
Man, that sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
We got Van Gogh here. Thanks. He said he just had a, well, this is timely, just had a conversation with a person that he'd consider a friend. Somehow they got on the topic of the vax, and I felt like I explained my position for not taking it from the point of real concern for those who have. And he says it wasn't received well. Yeah, so there's a lot of that sort of thing going on. And like I go back to that Mark Twain quote, and this is what scares me, is that a lot of the people that are suffering don't even want to consider the fact that maybe it's a result of that. And I do find it curious, son. I turned on that TV long enough. They were talking about that football player that fell out on the field. And they showed him supposedly at this game yesterday, but I sure noticed that it was very grainy. He had a hoodie on, and they didn't even show a picture of the dude. I'm like, man, something stinks about this thing. So I don't know.
I don't know if it's this antler juice. I don't know if it's my age. I don't know what it is, but I am completely like, if I show you the evidence by now and you still can't understand, I don't understand. Like, I don't understand how people can continue to argue with those people.
Yeah. What do you got?
All right. This is from, this is from Strider 47. Dog on PBS was Wishbone. Come on, pimps. So we were calling that dog on PBS Spot. Apparently it is Wishbone. I got another one from Sylvia Diaz 21. Question: is the milk you use on plants unpasteurized or just organic?
It's organic, and when I spray it on the trees, it's usually a 50-50 mixture. That was a little technique I got from Stefan Sipkowiak. Now, he uses whey exclusively, but you can use milk and get the same effect. So that's exactly how we do. We mix it 50-50, put it in a pump sprayer, make sure you do it when it's, you know, full sun out there, and I spray every part of that. That's the only real... And the idea of that is that it helps the good bacteria. You're not killing anything. You're just helping the good bacteria outcompete the bad, if that is even a problem. But going right back to that Fukuoka we were talking about, that, you know, if your soil's right, you have no problems. So I got one here. Don't really know how to pronounce the name, but they're over in Portugal. And they're talking about these 10 apple trees that they have. And they're wondering, they're saying the apples aren't wonderful. And they were wondering whether they should just go ahead and, you know, clear cut the whole doggone thing and start all over, is what I get from it. Well, you can overgraft. If you have something you don't like, you can overgraft a lot of these trees. Now, not having seen them, they did attach a picture here, but it's hard to get. It really looks like you got a lot of suckers on these trees, and looking at and it's really not going to be a benefit to everybody out there, but these trees have a lot of suckers, meaning things that are pointing out the top. their energy really isn't focused the best. You could tell these trees were not pruned as they were coming up. So yeah, that's going to be a problem. But yeah, looking at overgrafting, you can absolutely do this. What do you got, son?
This is from Eric Sider. As the saying goes, know the rules before you break the rules. Anytime I learn a new process, I'm always interested in how it's done traditionally or conventionally. Trying to reinvent the wheel without ever building a wheel before, I think, is mostly down to ego. I think social media also drives a lot of the desire for fancy or special. Practicality is not sexy in this society. You could spend a lifetime just applying permaculture 101 to the world. I would agree. And I would say probably Jeff Lawton has spent a lifetime doing that.
Yeah. And I think we're trying to, you know, offer our contributions as well as Eric as well. And we're doing the best we can. But honestly, if we're going to get out of this morass we're in, this is exactly what it's going to take. That's why I'm out here. No, I hate to leave my home, y'all. I came out here. I don't necessarily need another home, but I want to prove that this can be done. It can be done more inexpensively. I want to prove that it can be done using community. And I want to prove that all this stuff can be done, just absolutely done and incorporated into a landscape in a way that really makes a whole lot of sense. So yeah, that's how it happens out there. Got one from Erickson. They were the ones that got the knife set, that won the knife set a while back.
Did they receive it yet?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, cool.
They offer a thank you, and then they go on to say, I'll try to cut to the chase here. They're wondering any advice they could offer to be able to homestead full time. Yeah, that's going to be probably an entire show, but in a nutshell, I'm going to take another page out of Andy Frisella's book, and I didn't even know who he was when we started doing a lot of this stuff. Truth of it is, you need to solve problems. That's the number one way. Okay, so my problem when we first got to North Carolina was that the deer were absolutely driving us nuts. They were eating everything. They were tearing everything down. There's no way you can keep up with them. And so I remembered bone sauce, okay? So if that was my problem, and I had to invent a new way of doing it, and I had to invent a way to not only do it, but make it even better than what it currently is or was. So we did that, and we talked about it at length in the past. But I knew that if I had that problem, almost certainly everybody out there, to some extent or another, is probably having that same problem. So, ding, 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 a business emerged by complete accident at first. Well, I heard Danny down at Deep South talking about how he was having deer wipe him out, so I sent some down there. Next thing you know, Danny told everybody how well it was working. Bam. You know, just like that, we started selling bone sauce. But it's a zero-sum game because it is a very laborious process to make it properly. And if you're not paying careful attention, you will absolutely destroy it. So it can't be done really any other kind of way that I know of. You could probably make mass batches of it, but this stuff is expensive to make and it's a lot of time commitment. But anyway, there is an instant business overnight. Okay, same thing with the comfrey business that we have. And I've said in the past that my whole plan is to make comfrey so ubiquitous that we can't even sell it. In the past, we were buying it from Eric. And then we're like, okay, well, we can't grow enough of it. Despite all we have there, we still kind of, son, am I wrong? We can't grow enough of it.
Yeah, we're still trying to like propagate it. And I mean, not trying to propagate it. It's easy to propagate, but we're still trying to find new places where it makes sense to plant comfrey. Like it, yeah. We have the whole driveway is covered in, like, up and down the driveway is comfrey.
Yeah, it's one of those things that we can't grow enough of. But check it out. If I can't grow enough of it, and I know what its virtues are, huh? I bet you a whole lot of other people out there can't grow enough of it either. So we'll start a comfrey business. It's really that simple. You got to find problems that exist. You got to give extraordinary value. You got to be there in terms of customer service. And it all starts by solving somebody else's problem. And so this is how a lot of this stuff is born. Part of the thing is also, and I'm sorry to spend so much time on this because it really does require an episode of itself.
Yeah, it does.
But it also goes right back to that earthship thing. You know what? Housing is an issue. It's about to be even worse. What contribution can I make to this and solve some more problems? We also have your mom working on solving some problems, and we'll talk about that in the future when it's relevant.
I got one from Cheetah68. Thanks for the tip on High Res. His new song, 2 Plus 2, is on the nose. Check out his collab with Jimmy Levy, Faith Over Fear.
Huh. Yeah, I definitely like what he had to say in that song. Got one from David here. He was, he said, just finished listening to the latest episode and wanted to share about Redmond Salt. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Redmond's. I can't believe until he sent this. Thanks for sending it, David. I never once thought about using Redmond's for curing, although I know a number of people have. It, for some reason, it just escaped my radar. Typically, I'm using kosher salt. So I'm definitely going to look into how to, because we're going to be doing a lot of curing in the coming days. Isn't that right, son?
Yeah. And this is the last one I got on the Fountain app. This is from Strider47. My poor dad said to keep clear of a pimp. My rich dad said to tip a pimp. Hey, email us. Email me at permapastorsfarm@gmail.com. You want a knife? That is an awesome comment.
Oh, man. Dude, that
my rich dad said to tip a pimp.
Dude, that needs to be on the t-shirt.
Yeah.
Good night. You know, we got one from Jasper and a number of others out there asking when we're going to have Comfrey again. And we're just not there yet in terms of producing more Comfrey. And so tell them the reasons why.
Well, Mom just checked some of the Comfrey the other day, and she said it wasn't ready still. But we're letting the roots grow. This is when they do a lot of root growth is over the winter. The same thing with your trees and your shrubs and bushes and stuff. A lot of their root growth is done during the winter when they're dormant. Like we want to grow comfrey this summer and this spring and this fall, so we don't harvest it during this winter.
Plus, we want to be responsible. I'd also often told that story about the guy raising those pigs down in Louisiana. Had the best of intentions, and then because he was trying so hard to meet the demand, it got out of control that he ruined his own farm. So we want to make sure that we harvest this stuff responsibly. Yeah, we could go through and, you know, do the Francis Bacon version of it, and then, you know, what good is that? You know, we're right back at square one again. A lot of people are asking about pig butchery. We're not going to be having any classes, but Ben Holler over at the Holler Homestead is going to be doing it. And the farm where you live, folks down there, Megan and Josh that run Farm Where You Live, they got a pig butchering class coming up. Sorry, I don't have the information handy, but hit up Farm Where You Live, and you're probably going to find that. It's
It'll pop up. It's not hard to find. If you just go to farmwhereyoulive.com, it'll show up there. I'll leave a link in the description.
Well, we got one also from Don. He says he was talking about the episode 60, train like an MMA fighter. He says, I always try to apply anything I learned to a biblical principle. Your episode 60 falls right in line with that. Good soil, seed, sprout, stalk, fruit, harvest, sickle to harvest. Works every time. Man, I like that. Really good stuff there. Good night. We got a number of other questions, but folks, here's how we're going to have to do it. We can't have this episode go on forever and a day. So here's what we're going to do. The next episode we do of the Permaculture Pimpcast, we're going to spend a big focus on the Q&A. And don't forget that call line, son. You want to repeat it one more time?
Yeah, it's 828-380-4419. 828-380-4419.
All right. We got so many more. I was going to get more. Well, actually, let me back up one more time. We got this one from Randy, and he says they planted their comfrey. He's having comfrey problems getting it. And we told him, look, it does well in bad soil. But in his case, it came up in the potting soil and it didn't in the other soil. Okay. There's a whole lot that could be going on there, and it's nearly impossible to be able to tell you what it could be. Comfrey does well pretty much everywhere. It's been our experience, and I know other people have had experiences where they put it in potting soil, and it did well for them. A greater number have put it in potting soil, and it didn't do so well. So it's going to be one of those things that maybe in your area you might have to play with a little bit. But believe it or not, one of the biggest problems we come across in comfrey is people plant it and then they never water it. And that is a bigger problem than you know. So that would be my first thing. Son, is there anything you'd want to add to that?
Yeah, I would just make sure, like, because you're going to naturally tend to water things in pots more often than you are to just water bare ground. So maybe that could have been the case, was that you just didn't water it enough on the ground, which I'm not, you know, it'll eventually pop up. So just give it time, I would say.
Yeah, you usually give it time. He said it came in dry. Well, that's the way we sand it. It could be any number of things that are going off. But like I said in one of those previous questions, that when things don't do what they're supposed to do, well, we do everything we can to try to set it right. And that's one of those things in business, too. So anybody's wanting to homestead for a living, and I'm just giving you the thumbnail version of all the things you can possibly do. And in fact, in the previous episodes, we've talked about it. But really, it comes down to solving a problem. And you don't necessarily want to get into some of those problems where there are 50,000 people working on the same thing. You want to try to carve out your own niche. Think about the problems you have and how to deal with them. All right, y'all, that's going to do it for us. So until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.